Welcome to Vallejos Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast on Sunday, May 20th, 2018. The Reverend Wendy Camori Stager is preaching. Her sermon is entitled Breath and Life. The lesson today is from the Old Testament, Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 14.
Our scripture today comes from the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. And as I read, try to imagine what this vision might have sounded like and looked like in your imaginations. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live." I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, "Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, we are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." Here ends the reading. Please join me in a word of prayer. O Holy Spirit, giver of life, wisdom, our advocate, come and be with us now as we ponder this vision from Ezekiel. Help us to hear and live the prophecy so that we might know that you, our Lord, are speaking and acting today. Amen. It's Spirit Day, Pentecost. We celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit to the church. And most often every year, we read the same part of the Bible. It's the part from Acts chapter 2, where the flames, tongues as of flames of fire, land on the disciples, and they're able to speak many languages. And so the color of Pentecost is red, the color of flame and fire. But by always reading from the New Testament and from Acts chapter 2, we get a mistaken impression that the Spirit only arrives after Jesus. For yes, although Jesus did promise to send the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, to his followers, that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit was absent up until that Pentecost day. For the Spirit has been present from the beginning. The Hebrew word for Spirit is ruach, and it is first used in the very first sentence of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Wind, ruach. Sometimes it gets translated as wind and sometimes as breath. And it's that same ruach, that same breath, that gives life to God's creation of Adam. That God breathed into Adam the ruach of life, and by that, man became a living being. And then in this vision of Ezekiel's, these dry bones were dead and lost and looking beyond hope, and they needed spirit and life in the same way that Adam's dust needed spirit and life and breath in the beginning. For this vision of the dry bones comes from the lowest of the low points in the history of Israel. Yes, it's allegorical, but it also speaks to the actual events of Ezekiel's time. For Ezekiel was one of the religious leaders who were exiled after Babylon defeated the kingdom. And it was only a few years later, in 587 BC, that the very temple, the heart of their worship in Jerusalem, was destroyed. And so this vision of dry bones conjures up a battlefield with the scores who have died and the bones scattered across the landscape without a decent burial. And it is to this vision that the Lord asks Ezekiel, "Can these bones live?" And Ezekiel responds, "O Lord, you know." It's kind of an ambiguous response. I mean, it could be interpreted as cautious. I'm not going to answer God. You know. Or it could be kind of that surrender, sort of that God only knows. And then the Lord, using Ezekiel, using Ezekiel the prophet as an intermediary, commands him to prophesy to the bones. Notice that God uses an intermediary. Great, God can do what God wants, and especially this is a vision. So this is a dream world. God could completely do what God wants, and God could just make those bones change. But God specifically says to Ezekiel, to his prophet, prophesy to those bones and say to them, "O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord, that thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath, ruach, to enter you, and you shall live." So the Lord tells Ezekiel, but it's not until Ezekiel takes his deep breath and prophesies it back out that the bones start to come together. Hip bone connected to the thigh bone, right? They got knitted together bone to bone. But they weren't done yet. For all that Ezekiel says, he looked, and there were sinews, tendons on them. There's muscle, there's flesh, there's skin, but there is no breath. There's no ruach in them. So then God said again to Ezekiel, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, except that winds is still another ruach. breath, Ruah. Breathe upon these slain that they may live. Okay, I didn't count, but that's like six words of Ruah in one sentence. You get the idea that none of this would happen without the Spirit, and that all of it comes from the same place. All of that comes from God. And so again, Ezekiel prophesied as God had commanded, and the Ruach came into them, and the bones stood and breathed and became alive. We know that breath and life are interconnected. Whether we're listening for a baby's first cry, or whether we're listening to a death rattle, or from when a person stops breathing. I'm going to take a deep breath right now. Let it out. Take it again. Because I know you're all breathing, I know you are all alive. We have spirit. We have breath. We have life. The breath is in the room. Remember the cheerleader chant? We got spirit. Yes, we do. We got spirit. How about you? Right? There's spirit in that. And I don't know about you, but I've kind of felt it already. Because we've been breathing and sharing in that Ruach this morning. We may have come from our various houses and apartments from separate places to intentionally be in one space together, to be in this sanctuary, to choose to get out of bed and throw on some clothes and be here with other people in this place. But it seems to me it's not until we start singing together that we really start breathing together. I don't know about you, but I sensed it this morning when we took a deep breath and said, every time I feel the Spirit, right? Everybody has to inhale in order to have the voice and the song to be able to start to sing. We open our mouths and our lungs and our diaphragms to join in this singing together, and our bones start to come alive. I'm grateful for that song, The Awakening. Did you hear how it started with minor tunes and the sadness of dreaming a silent dream? Dreaming a space where there were no alleluias, no hosannas, no lullabies, no one sang to change the world. And then in awakening and proclaiming, no, let music never die in me, and could you feel the change in the energy of the room? That no, we will come together and sing and proclaim that hope. Even our secular scholars have noticed that when we sing and sing as a group, we breathe and sing with one another. Robert Putnam, who's the scholar and author of Bowling and Lone, asserts that communal singing, choral singing, if you doubt me, just start talking to these choir members, right? It goes beyond music making. That choral singing contributes directly to the social trust and reciprocity that is the basis for respectful civic engagement. Wow, don't we need a little more respectful civil engagement these days? And something as simple and basic as singing together. You can sing next to strangers. But we don't do it as often as we used to. Do you see people who walk by with their earbuds in? Right? And nowadays, as I, you know, hang out with young people, everybody's got their earbuds in and they're all listening to a different song. But how many of you, do you remember going on car trips and then you had to take turns whose radio station was on? But it means that everybody in the car listened to the same music at the same time, for better or for worse, right? You go, that was Dad's turn,
right?
But there's something about being in the same music together, hearing it together, rocking out together. Maybe that's why we have a fascination with carpool karaoke. Have you seen this on YouTube? James Corden gets singers in the car with him, and then they videotape them. You know, he's got Beyonce in there. He's got the cast from Hamilton in there. And vicariously, we look through the screen, and we go, wow, that actually looks like fun. Because culturally, we don't sing together very often anymore. I mean, other than at church, right? You all are here. You do it. When's the last time not at church that you sang with other people? Yesterday with?
The wedding.
You sang with the wedding? But did you sing? You sang with the TV with the wedding. Okay, excellent. What's the last time you sang with other people? Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you were singing?
I think
the Hokey Pokey. You're singing the Hokey Pokey with your granddaughter, right? It's hard. It's hard to think about, right? Happy birthday. Any of you sang happy birthday with other people? I mean, I think that's one of the places in our culture that we do sing together. Any of you been to a baseball game lately? Rudy's Star Spangled Banner at the beginning and at the seventh inning? Take me out to the ball game, right? And you stand up with all these strangers around you in the ballpark and are unified in this experience of singing together. Whether you've got a good voice or not a very good voice, you're still invited to sing happy birthday to strangers in restaurants. Sometimes to that person's incredible discomfort. But we know that it is in that singing together, that breathing together, that we start to knit back together our society and our individuality that has gotten so fractured and so dry. That's the spirit, the ruach, the breath, the Holy Spirit that I want to call our attention to today. And so it was very fitting this day that we would be looking at our hymnals and dedicating that music. Because in this hymnal, we all look at the screen, we all open the same book together, and we all take a breath together. And we all release it together. And in doing so, become alive together. And our song is more than happy birthday and more than take me out to the ball game. For our songs, we know who gave them to us and we know to whom they are going. For it is in our singing and our breathing and our celebration of Ruach that we give praise and thanks to God, who is indeed the very source of our life and of our breath. Thanks be to God. Amen.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California. Or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.